Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the parable of the sower that Jesus told in our gospel lesson today. The curiosity of children is very charming. A child can ask the question, why, over and over and over again, until you haven't any more answers to give. Why are there rainbows? Because it rained. Why? Because the water in the air separates the colors in sunlight. Why? Well, because light consists of seven main colors: red, orange, yellow, green, brown, indigo, violet. Roy G. Biv. Why is light that way? Because that's how God made it when he said, "Let there be light." But why did he? He just did. We too are children of our Heavenly Father. And we also have such probing questions for him. And he discloses all the answers that we need for our salvation in the doctrine presented in the Holy Scriptures. And that doctrine is also presented, though in a concealed and hidden sort of way, in the parables that our Lord Jesus Christ tells us. But we have a temptation, very much like children, to probe into things more deeply than God has presented them. And in so doing, we can get into trouble. And I believe this parable of the sower is one such place where this danger presents itself. The parable tells us specifically how God's word is spread throughout the world and how it is that some people reject it. It tells us about different types of soil, and we should take the parable as it stands and not dig further, but know that God's word does not go out from him void, but accomplishes the purposes for which it is sent. God's word gives us all the answers that we need, but it doesn't give us all the answers we ask for. Today's parable, though, is an example of where Jesus gives us an answer to one of the most fundamental questions of the faith. Why is it, upon hearing the word, some believe it and others do not? And here's the main point. Jesus says it's not because God's word is somehow defective. It's because of the soil. Regardless of the soil, the word of God is a holy seed, and it always has the potential to create faith. So Jesus tells a parable about a sower who goes out to sow. He scatters his seed aimlessly, you might say recklessly, certainly more recklessly than a very efficient farmer would. He scatters the seed and some lands on the path and gets devoured by birds. Some falls on the rock and withers away with no moisture. And some fell in the thorns. It grew until it was choked. And some fell on good soil. We know that the seed is the gospel. The seed is God's word. And we know that the soil is different people. And so the moral of the story is simply this. Just as a seed always has the potential to grow, and if it doesn't, it's because it couldn't find purchase in the soil, so too God's word. God's word always has the potential to create faith, but sometimes it will not find purchase in people. The reason Jesus tells this parable is to comfort his disciples and his church. Because we see many people hear the word, but they don't believe it like we do. We see many people who had believed once upon a time and had fallen away. And our flesh thinks, What went wrong? What went wrong? Jesus is saying, nothing went wrong. Nothing went wrong with the Word. The Word is always ready and always doing what it was sent to do. When we see people accept the Word and it produces fruit, we are to praise God and rejoice. When we see people who seem dull to the Word, who fall away from the faith, we're not to panic. Jesus said this will happen. But though this happens, though the Word is rejected, it says nothing about the quality of His gospel, only something about the people who have rejected it. Don't lose heart because others don't believe. Rejoice that you do. This parable explains then very nicely how the unbelief of some people in no way discredits the Word of God, nor does it discredit your faith in it. But some aren't content to simply rejoice that they have faith. Instead, like children, they want to probe further into the mysteries of God. They want to probe further and get out of this parable something that it doesn't explain. And what this parable does not explain is why some soil is different than others. Why is some soil on the path? Why is some soil among weeds? Why is some good soil? Jesus doesn't say. It's tempting then to speculate about it, about the soil. And this is where speculation can lead into false teaching. And it has within the Christian church today. It's common for the undiscerning to be obsessed with the soil in this parable. After all, it seems to be about the soil. The difference between creating a faith that persists to eternal life and a faith that falls away from it, the difference seems to be the soil. And Jesus says the types of soil are types of people. The ones along the path are those people who have heard. And so on. And all this sets up those who don't hold straight the mysteries of faith to get it wrong. So if the soil makes all the difference, some conclude that this means the parable is how salvation is in the person. If so, then one preacher may preach that this parable is a warning, to warn you not to be bad soil. And if you are bad soil, cultivate your heart, purify your soul, seek God and become good soil. You have been given a chance in this life, use it wisely to prepare yourself to receive the grace of God. So pray, fast, do good works, give to the poor, hold to the traditions of the elders, all these things you can do to prepare yourself to receive the word. That is false doctrine. Because we confess that we cannot by our own reason or strength, by our own intelligence, by our own efforts, believe in Jesus Christ one little bit or come to him in our own natural state. We cannot prepare ourselves, nor do we want to. Those who would teach that there is some strength inside of an unbeliever, inside of bad soil, to make himself more receptive to the seed of the word is false doctrine. For we are naturally blind and dead in spiritual things, and by nature enemies of God and children of wrath. At the same time, if a person cannot prepare himself to receive salvation, then it surely must be God who prepares him. And soil is soil, so another preacher may preach that God created the soil, and so he created certain people to receive the word and be saved, and he created other people, bad soil, to reject the word and be condemned. God creates some to be saved, others to be damned. And so you can't help it what kind of soil you are. These respective false teachings are common mistakes that are promoted in the name of Christ. The problem is they are not taught in Holy Scripture, and they don't deal with this parable on its own terms. Jesus doesn't tell the parable to explain to us how soil becomes good or bad, or whether or not it's permanently that way. The parable doesn't say how the soil got to be in the condition it was. It just is. The parable is not about the soil, but about the word. The word of God will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. God scatters his word regardless of the quality of the soil. So don't lose heart when people reject it. Jesus tells us this parable, and it is very good news. It's as if he's to say, you see all of this troubling rejection of the word and unbelief. You heard the word. You received it with joy. You see many more people reject it and fall away. Well, know this. God sees it too. God sees it too. And God is not like the manufacturer of a product that has to succeed in the marketplace or else it's not worth anything. God's word is worth everything, whether it's received or not. When you're tempted to think, maybe the church is going to fall, maybe the Christian faith is phasing out, maybe it's had its heyday in history, maybe God is losing because his word is being so disregarded, no. God knows the fate of his word. He allows it to be cast on all kinds of soil. It's not a miscalculation that his word falls on some and sprouts faith, and falls on others and withers and dies. His word accomplishes his purposes. And his purpose is this, that you who hear it and receive it with joy will have the salvation won by Jesus Christ on the cross, atoned for by his blood, received by faith, and preparing you for eternal life. That word accomplishes its purpose as you believe it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.